Austin, let's start with why Pierce, Cowlitz, and Whitman counties are moving back to phase two.
So, Kirsten, these three counties out of the state's 39 counties failed both of the governor's metrics required to remain in phase three. Their case counts are up along with hospitalizations. Essentially, this means that instead of operating businesses like restaurants at 50% capacity, they're going to have to revert to 25% capacity. In a statement, the governor said these are not punitive actions. They are to save lives and protect public health. But he immediately faced blowback. Republican State Senator Jeff Wilson, who represents Cowlitz County, said in a statement, "With the flip of a switch in Olympia, the governor has reignited public fury at a time when the COVID threat is winding down." Last night, though, the state's Secretary of Health, Dr. Umair Shah, put out a statement saying that tough decisions are needed to head off a possible fourth wave of the virus. He said that, well, vaccines are a crucial tool, that there just aren't enough of them yet to keep the majority of people safe from the disease. And of course, we're also seeing variants, which are potentially more contagious.
That's right. And as those three counties once again deal with more restrictions, eligibility for the COVID vaccine is expanding this week.
Yes, starting Thursday, all Washingtonians age 16 and up will be eligible to receive a COVID-19 vaccine. This represents about another million people who will become eligible. A quick note to parents about getting their teens vaccinated. Currently, the Pfizer vaccine is the only one authorized for people 16 years and up. The Department of Health says it's working to update its vaccine locator webpage and mobile app to include which vaccine is available at which site, because that could be kind of a difficult thing if you're trying to figure out how to get your teen vaccinated.
Right. And another question folks may have, Austin, we're soon going to be having a lot more people vying for the vaccine. What's the status of vaccine distribution and delivery in the state?
Well, it's a key question, especially as we get news this morning of this setback involving the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and the pause that the U.S. is considering or taking steps to do because of concerns about blood clots. So presuming the state of Washington goes along with that pause, the question will be, how will this affect vaccine supply? Already, J&J supply was affected by manufacturing problems, so the state was going to get many fewer doses than it expected of that particular vaccine. So now it sounds like we may be relying extra heavily on the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines for the foreseeable future. So we will have to just kind of watch and see what happens with supply and demand. Will the newly eligible people be able to get appointments, or are they going to have to wait? Now, the flip side is that public health officials are worried about vaccine hesitancy. Right now, just the latest numbers off the dashboard, so far about 22% of the state's population is fully vaccinated. Nearly 60,000 shots are being given a day, and more than 4 million doses have been given so far.
All right. So as the state continues to deal with COVID, lawmakers are in the final weeks of their legislative session, and they passed another big deadline this weekend.
They did. Sunday was the deadline for House bills to pass out of the Senate and Senate bills to pass out of the House, not including budget-related bills. So it was a marathon weekend of floor action. Majority Democrats are advancing bills addressing police accountability, COVID response and relief, environmental protection, a whole package of bills dealing with equity. The bill volume, Kirsten, is down this year because of the remote session, but in a typical legislative session, there might be a handful of measures that I would put in the significant or high-profile category. This year feels very different. Agree or disagree with what Democrats are doing, this is shaping up as a historic session just in terms of the major pieces of legislation that are moving. On the police reform front alone, there's a package of 8 or 9 bills that are advancing and will likely land on the governor's desk.
Oh, wow. So what is left before the session ends?
So we're in the final 2 weeks of the 105-day session. At this point, the House and Senate still need to agree on a final budget deal for the next 2-year budget. That's expected to include a new state capital gains tax. So that's a big and controversial deal. There are a lot of bills that still need concurrence in one chamber or the other before they go to the governor. There's also some talk of a transportation funding package, but it seems awfully late in the session for that to come together. And then this is the moment of truth for some major pieces of legislation. In particular, I'm thinking of a cap and trade bill that's passed the Senate, but whose prospects are very uncertain in the House.
All right, Austin, thanks so much for watching all of this.
You're welcome.